come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation from the Heart to Heart Bible study titled God Judges Rightly, a study through 1 Samuel chapters 16 through 31. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, as we just dive into this study right now, Lord, that you would be blessed, that you would be honored, Lord, that you would fill our minds with those things of you, Lord, and that we would be refreshed, that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened, Lord, and at the end of the day, that you'd get all of the glory. We do pray, Father, for all of the victims of these fires that are going on, Lord, adding the one last night where someone went over a ridge and started a fire, and I don't know about the condition of the people that were in the car. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be their comforters. Lord, that you would send your comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come alongside them, Lord. And a lot of times I know that that comforter sent alongside of them has to do with people in the local churches. And so, Father, I pray that you would cause us all to do what we can to help the people, Lord, during this time, to just be there, just contacting people or whatever, Lord, just a comforting thing of just letting them know that God's going to take care of them. So give us wisdom, Lord, in what we say and how we conduct our lives, Lord, and help us as we walk through these three chapters in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and so last week in chapter 28, Bethany gave us a wonderful message about the tale of the two terrified kings. And I was so impressed with that message. I still have my notes sitting on my desk, and I was going to go over them a little bit with you, but we don't really have time for that today to go over something that we've already gone over. If you want to see what Bethany did, or if you want to hear what Bethany did last week, and you weren't here, you didn't hear it, or you want to hear it again, you go to refugefamily.com, and is it / women's ministry? And then, okay, on that page, you'll see two buttons. One is watching, one is listening, or on the Facebook page. Okay, you need to see Lisa if you want more information. I'll be seeing her afterwards. Okay, so if you want to hear that or see it, that's where you can go. So chapter 29, we ended in chapter 28 with Saul's last meal and the last message that he would receive. The next time we will see Saul is at his death. We will witness his death in chapter 31. So as we're walking through that, meanwhile, back at the ranch, so to speak, we're going to be talking about David in chapter 29. And you've already done your homework on it, so I probably will not spend a lot of time reading through it. But the first thing that we have are the Philistines are gathered together. Their armies are in Aphek, and the Israelites are gathered in Jezreel, and they are going to war. They are fighting over the land that is there. Not much has happened of late that has changed. They are still fighting over the land that is there in Israel. However, they were the Israelites were very frightened and were afraid of what was going to happen. So what happened in verse 2 is that the troops passed in review as they walked by. You've seen it on TV, or maybe you were a part of the armed forces when you just pass by. You're there for review. And so the leaders are reviewing the people that are part of that army there, and they watch them. And the troops pass by, and David passes by last in the row, or last in the line, with King Achish. And you remember that King Achish is king of what? Gath. And who else lived in Gath? Goliath, the home of the not so friendly giant. And so David is fighting for the Philistines. David is fighting for the Philistines. And so Achish sides with David in verse 3, the princes of the Philistines, says, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish defends David there. But I want you to notice what he says. He says, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day, I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. He is King Saul's servant. I haven't found any fault in him since he defected to me. So we see something right away about David. David is in a backslidden state. He is there in a backslidden state. And so Achish, the princes of the Philistines, were angry with him. They told him, make this fellow return. Send him back to the place that you gave him in verse 4. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master if not with the heads of these men? How could he reconcile himself, David, to his master by killing his own people? How's he going to reconcile that? Well, we know that that wasn't what David had been doing. And so send him back to the place that you were going to. And verse 5, it says, for goodness sake, David is the hero of the Israelites. Can't you see this? That's what they're saying to King Achish. And then in verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. So he encourages David all the time, thinking that David has been fighting with him for the Philistines. But we know that David had been lying about what he was doing. Don't we? We know that he was lying about what he was doing. David was not killing Israelites. David was killing Canaanites, killing them all so that there were no witnesses left, so that no one lived to tell the story. Achish thought that David was trustworthy, while all the time that David was saying that he was battling in southern Israel, he was. But he was twisting the truth. He led the king to believe something that wasn't true. I have in my notes here something that I wrote down. I haven't read it anyplace else, but we know that David was good looking. We know that David was a man of valor. And we know that David was a liar. It was something that he struggled with all the time. He was not an outright liar, but he twisted the truth so that he was telling a little bit of the truth. And what happens when we tell a little bit of the truth? We are telling a lie. We're not being honest. And so David knew this about himself. There are always consequences to lying. It will always come out. At some point, it's always going to come out. And then we have to defend ourselves. So David would write in Psalm 119, remove these lying lips from me. When he sought the Lord, remove these lying lips from me. God still uses us even with our constant struggles with sin. We know that David was used. We know that David was used even when he was fighting with the Philistines, for the Philistines, even as he was killing Canaanites. He was still God was still using him. God's hand was on him, and he was to be king. And so then in verse 7, Achish says, therefore, return now, go back in peace, that you don't upset these guys that are just telling me this. And then in verse 8, David says, but why? Why can't I go and fight with you guys? Do you know what he wasn't saying to himself? Why can't I go and kill my people? You see, he's so used to the lying that's gotten in there, the deception, that he's even deceiving himself right now. Why would you say no to me at this particular time? I've been good to you. I've done these things. I have fought for you. I've been there. David did not want to kill his own people. But isn't it funny, the things that we don't want to do, and we're told, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. And then somebody says, okay, never mind, I'll do it. No, I really want to do it. Let me do it. Because now somebody's taken away something from me. Let me do it. And that's kind of where David was at this particular point. And so he said, King Achish says in verse 9, but the people do not want you. The others don't want you. So here's the plan. Go early in the morning. God's timing is always right. He needed to leave on this day at this time. Do you see how God used the ungodly to make his plan work? He's drawing David to himself. He's drawing him in to back to the Lord. And so we see then in verse 11, and David and his men rose early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel where the war was going on. And so go early in the morning. God's timing is right. Verse 11, God is in control, and he protected David from fighting his own people. God is calling David back. Imagine what history would look like if David had gone with the group. If the one who was to be king was on the front lines killing his people, things would not be as they should be. You remember that David was weary of running from Saul, and he fled to the Philistine country. No psalms were written during this time. He was in a backslidden position. There's no proof that he even spoke to God during that time. We have no written proof. Backsliding always has repercussions, and here we see that it can also have restoration. Backsliding always has repercussions, and here we see how it also has restorations. And so he told them to go back to your home. You remember that Achish gave Ziklag to David and to his men and to their families. It's a part of Israel today still. And so we move on now into chapter 30. And now it happened that David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire. So the Amalekites have attacked Ziklag. They burned it. They took the people. No one was killed. Well, that's a little strange, isn't it? No one was killed. Do you see the hand of God on his people? He has protected them, but was it easy for the people? No, they were suffering right now. They were suffering. They were in a place of suffering. They have been stolen from their homes. Their homes have been burnt down. Not only David is going through this burning down of the house, not only his men are going through this, their families are being brought to a place where there are all kinds of the enemy. And there they are, not knowing what's going to happen. I do kind of wonder, though, if Abigail thought, you know what, David's going to come for me. Imagine if they had been the ones, if David had been among the ones that attacked Ziklag. Wow, it changes the whole picture, doesn't it? And so they want to, and then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices. They cried, they wept, they screamed, they yelled, and they wrung themselves dry. And verse 5, David's two wives went, Ahinoam and Abigail. And now in verse 6, now David was greatly distressed. He was a little upset, and it says they wanted to stone him. That's not what he was upset about. They wanted to stone him. He had lost some very wonderful things in these men. And so they want to stone him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I have that underlined. I had it underlined before. I've underlined it again. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Let's go through the whole picture, and then we'll go over a few other things. And so they, he encouraged himself in the Lord. In verses 7 and 8, David seeks the Lord first. They feed the Egyptian as he comes on. The Egyptian tells him, I was a part of that happened there. And what happened in Ziklag, David says, take me there. Egyptian says, only if you promise not to kill me and not to send me back to my owner. If you promise that, I will take you there. And so David goes with him. So they're singing. He gets there in verse 16. They're singing, they're dancing, they're eating what they had taken from Judah. And then in verse 17, we see that then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400. Did anybody else look at that and just go, I think somebody missed something in translation there. Why is it written that way? I don't know why it's written that way. It's confusing to me. But not a man of them escaped, except for 400 men who rode off on the camels. They got out beforehand. So David recovered all. He recovered all. You circle all the alls in your Bible? I do. He recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, verse 19, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other the other livestock from other groups of people, not just from Ziklag, and said, this is David's spoil. This part is mine. I believe that David already had a plan in mind of what he was going to do with those extra ones. And so it goes on to say in verse 21, now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. You remember that they were in your study. They were left at the brook Besor. They were there because they had been crying. They were worn out. They were weary from grief. And they said, we just can't go. So 200 men stayed back at the brook Besor. And whom they also made to stay at Brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they didn't go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered except for every man's wife and children. And then they can just go away because they were not part of the fight. Mm-mm, not doing it. We're not giving anything to them. And David says right away, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given you. Freely you have received, freely give. This is a time when we are living right now this week in a time where we have one day that reminds us to be thankful. And we need to remind ourselves every day to be thankful. I want to challenge you today, tomorrow, on Thanksgiving, write down those things that you are thankful for. Write them down. Remind yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Write them down on a piece of paper so that you can go back and look at it again. And so all the things that the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies, the keeper of the stuff. They shall share alike. And so it was from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance of Israel for Israel to this day. So in verse 21 through 24, we don't want to share the spoil with those who didn't go. These are the keeper of the stuff, the supply line, if you will. Those who pray and those who go all receive the reward. And then in verse 25, it became law. So David was backslidden a year and 4 months, so 16 months, the division between Bethany and Shannon, 16 months. And we see the repercussions of this. He had material loss. What were the repercussions of this? He had material loss. He had loss of family. And he had loss of the respect of all of those who followed him. He had lost everything because of being in that backslidden condition. I'm not talking to God. I'm not going to talk to God. I'm living here. I'm running away. It's too hard. This whole thing with Saul, it's just too hard. I can't stay in this. And then we see the repercussions of it. And we see also that in verse 6, he was depressed. He had lost the respect of his men. They wanted to stone him. David was not where he was supposed to be. And for him, it was sin. And because it was sin, he lost everything. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. He returned to the Lord, and he recovered all in just a couple of days. David was in a season of loss. Bill did 2 funerals yesterday. And there are some others pending at this particular point. People are in a season of loss. And I don't know, maybe you are in a season of loss right now. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe you didn't lose your house. Maybe you didn't lose your family. Maybe you didn't lose those things. But you know, I am in a season of loss. How do I deal with that season of loss? There are 4 things. Number 1, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David returned to the Lord. How did he return to the Lord? When you find yourself that you're a little bit off, do you ever sit in a place where you go, I'm just a little bit off. I'm not as close to the Lord as... Did I say last 2 weeks ago, am I closer to the Lord today than I was 5 years ago? And if I'm not closer than I was 5 years ago, where am I? A little bit in a backslidden state. I need to remind myself that I need to encourage myself in the Lord. I want to be in that place of rejoicing in him. So did David praise? Did he worship? Did he write things? We have nothing to show what happened at that particular time. But we do know that he took the word of the Lord. He encouraged himself. And I think that because of what we know about David, he probably did start singing songs. Maybe he started singing scripture that he already knew of. But he put the word of God into himself. He took effort to put the word of God into himself. Recently, I was listening to some songs that somebody else was with me and they were listening to. And we both really loved the way that sounded. The music, oh man, that sounds so great. And then we listened to the words. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. But you see, because I've listened to it, that's gone somewhere. And it's there. I can't not hear it. It's there. And so we have to be careful what we put into our minds, what we allow to come into our minds and what we're listening to and what we're talking about and what we're watching. Be careful what you're reading. It says that about the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. There are times when I have gone through some of the hardest times in my life where I haven't wanted to talk to anybody. I know you think I'm perfect. I know that. And I never go through these times. But I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to look at anybody. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want anything to do with anybody because of the place that I was at in my head. And when I get in those positions, I get out my iPad and I put the Bible reading on it. And no matter what I'm doing, that Bible reading is in the background of what I'm doing. And it lifts me. And it may be a book that I wouldn't have planned on reading. Maybe it's even Leviticus. And yet the Lord uses that, and he brings me in. He draws me into him. And we walk through those places. And so we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Number two, we inquire of the Lord. David asked the Lord. He sought the Lord. There's no record of David asking the Lord while he was in Philistine country, of him ever doing that. He sought the Lord. He asked the Lord for a word from him. And he didn't only ask on his own. He went to the priests. And that's a whole nother study on how that, with the Urim and the Thummim, how all of that works, which I'm not sure I really have it down myself that I've got it right. But we'll talk about that another time. But he sought out someone else to pray with him, to seek the word of God with him. We need other people in our lives. When we are seeking to hear a word from God, we need other people in our lives. We need to have them come alongside of us. He needed others. Sometimes we just really need to just come alongside us in a season of loss and help us inquire of the Lord. So we encourage ourselves in the Lord. We inquire of the Lord. We engage for the Lord. David joined in the fight. We engage in the fight. We get involved in the fight. How do we get involved in the fight? We're not talking about going out on a big, you know, physical fighting area. But we don't fight against powers or against people. We fight against principalities and powers in high places. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through prayer. We get involved in the spiritual fight that's going on. There is a family that I know of where one of the girls ran away from home. And while mom was, everybody was out except, out looking for this girl except for her sister. And as mom had said, I'm going to go out looking for her. Will you stay here in case she returns here? And as mom was going out the door, she heard her daughter saying, "Devil, you can't have her." Her sister was doing battle for her. You see, she joined in the fight. And she said, "You can't have her." And she invested her time in prayer there. We get involved in the fight through prayer and fasting, which I am thinking is almost a lost art these days. Fasting. It's something that over this time of December, if the Lord puts it on your heart, do your own study on why you fast. Why fast? Don't wait for somebody to tell you the answers to that. Find out for yourself. And invest some time in fasting. I know I'm saying at a time when all of the food is so plentiful, you need to have a day of fasting. It's just preparation for filling. That's all it is. But during that time of fasting, of just seeking the Lord, it's not a time to lose weight. It's not a time to keep my mind distracted from food. It is a time that we are praying and seeking the Lord. And I'm not doing any food so that my attention can be wholly given to him. So they did prayer and fasting. So when we engage in the Lord, it's prayer and fasting. So encourage yourself in the Lord, inquire of the Lord, engage for the Lord, join in the fight, and be inspired by the Lord. David was inspired to do something. He was inspired to share. He was inspired to give. When we are walking with the Lord, we have a generosity that we don't have on our own. David got all of this stuff, and he gave it to others. And then he said, those who didn't join in the fight are also going to, they are also going to get from this stuff. They were the keepers of the stuff. There is the person, and I had it written down on my notes, but I don't seem to, I can't find it. But the missionary goes, okay, so the missionary goes, and they get a reward. The person who is a prayer warrior for the missionary gets a reward. The person who is financially supporting the missionary gets the reward. The person who is administrating all of those things together gets the same as when, as if they had gone on the mission field. We look at ourselves and we say, well, I've never been to the mission field. We're in the mission field every day, first of all. But we all get that same reward. And that same reward is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We all get that same thing. The person who goes to another country doesn't get more in their crown than the person who supported prayerfully. They don't get any more than the person who supported financially. They don't get any more than the person that supported through administration of those things. It's all the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is a jewel in our crown when we participate in someone else's life and in the way that God tells us to do it. And so that financial support, and you know what? I thought I had it in writing, but I actually typed it here, and it's right there, so I remembered, and I'm so excited. So in verse 26 through 31, we see that David has more than he had before the raid, so he shares, and it becomes law that he shares, and David is walking in the joy of the Lord, and he's doing something else as well. He's preparing for the future kingdom. Remember, he's going to be king of Israel. He is preparing. He's going to need these people on his side. He's going to need them to stand alongside of him. And so he is preparing for the future kingdom. He'll need all of these people to support him at that time. And then we move on to chapter 31 and back to Saul. Here we are back to Saul. And because we haven't, I'm just going to let you read it at home, but I will point out the things so that we are not here too long. So we get back to Saul. Verse 1, the Israelites are running away from the Philistines, and many died on Mount Gilboa. In verse 2, the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons, just as he was told would happen by Samuel. Saul is fatally wounded. He was told that by Samuel. In verse 4, Saul asks the armor bearer to kill him, but the bearer refuses out of fear. Saul kills himself. The armor bearer says, oh no, I'm going to be blamed for not taking care of the king, so he kills himself. The Israelites ran from the battle as soon as they found out that these guys were dead. They ran from the battle. You want the land? Go ahead and have the land. We're going to go back to our places. You can have it. And the Philistines settled in. In verse 9, the Philistines find Saul. They strip him and his three sons. They cut off Saul's head, as David had with Goliath's in verse 8. And in verse 9, they spread the news throughout the land and in their churches and in the places of their idols, and that Saul and his sons were dead. In verse 10, they put Saul's armor in the temple of the goddess of sex. They put his armor in the temple of the goddess of sex. Interesting. Put on the whole armor of God, ladies. Put on the whole armor of God every day. Every day. In verse 11 through 13, the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard about it. So let's just read 11 through 13. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night, took the body of Saul. Notice that they traveled all night. They traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. I've been to Bethshan. I love that place, but I'm sure it looked different at that time. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there, which is the first and only instance of cremation in the Bible. Not that it's right or wrong. It just was there. They needed to do it because the bodies were rotting. And so then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So they mourned for those 7 days. And so they buried the bones. So 40 years ago, 40 years before this story, Saul had been anointed king. And Saul got word that Nahash, the Amorite, had said to the men of Jabesh Gilead, "I am going to put out your eyes." And so Saul heard of it. And Saul and his men, and that's 1 Samuel 11, which we've already gone through. Saul and his men marched all night. They marched all night long to save the men of Jabesh Gilead and rescued them. They never forgot, so they rescued his body. What we sow, we also reap. Saul, in his early years, had sowed these seeds of protection and of care. And he has reaped this, even though he would not live to see it. But he also sowed discontent and anger and malice and death. And he also reaped those things as well. So what we do. So we sow what we reap, what we sow. So what do we do in our seasons of loss? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. We inquire of the Lord. We engage for the Lord. We're inspired of the Lord. In other words, put in a simpler way, we return to him. We ask him first. We fight the good fight. And we become givers. We become gracious givers with the kingdom always on our mind. We are gracious givers that only want to extend the kingdom of God. Everything I have, I don't own. Everything I have is a gift from God. Everything I have, the things that are dearest to me, are a gift from God. And all of them are on loan. All of them are on loan. They don't really belong to me, because I am a joint heir with Christ. So everything Christ has, I have. It belongs to all of us. And so we will be those gracious givers. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've taken us through this book of 1 Samuel. And we've learned a lot of things, Lord. And there are things that we need to change in our lives that you've pointed out. And there are things, Lord, that we just want to bring glory to your name because of something that we've learned in this book. Help us not to forget the things that we've learned. Help us to really learn them. And Lord, let us glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.